than sticks and rocks. The Red Cliff philosophy is that by learning to survive in the wilderness, the teenagers will also learn important lessons about how to live with themselves and others.
That's part of the responsibility they learn here, is how to take care of themselves and how to take care of their group. As a staff, we will make sure that they know how to do that, and we'll help them out if they're having trouble with their fire.
You got it, Andrea.
14-year-old Andrea Moses has spent 83 days in the wilderness.
Good job, Andrea. I want to leave to go home and see all my friends and stuff, but I don't want to leave because, like, it's teaching me, like, all these good things, like, in a hard way. Like, I like it being hard.
And it is hard. Improvised backpacks containing everything needed to survive in the wilderness that weigh more than 40 pounds. Marching with these packs for 7 miles every day is designed to teach the teenager self-discipline and a sense of purpose. And even if the smallest members of the group refuse to shoulder the burden, they suffer the consequences.
Like, my first 23, 24 days, I sat on all the hikes. And when you sit on hikes, they force you and make you hike.
The kids have weekly one-on-one counseling sessions with trained psychologists like Dr. Dan Sanderson.
If they are avoiding the business of their life, then it means that someone else is going to have to take up the slack somewhere or another. Whether it's an educational system, whether it's a parent, whoever it might be, they've finally gotten to the place where they've decided they're not going to be able to take up the slack any longer. That's how they wind up at Red Cliff.
Today's hike has been disrupted by a new student, Nick Konstadt, recently arrived from Salem, Massachusetts. The uncooperative Nick refuses to hike or even put his boots on.
The first night.
Nick had essentially been refusing to hike all week long, and what we heard and what was taking place was Nick throwing a tantrum because he didn't want to put on his shoes.
We need to be able to talk to my parents.
Nick and Dr. Sanderson agreed to allow us to listen into the counseling session from a distance. Nick makes it clear he's not happy at Red Cliff.
I need to leave here, at a mental hospital, juvenile hall, anywhere where I can live civilly, and then I can work out what I need to work out. I'm saying is...
Nick complains that he has been physically punished, simply for refusing to do what he was told.
I've been very, very hurt here, like physically hurt. Like, pounding on pressure points, bending wrists in ways that I'm not supposed to be bent. And it doesn't seem to ever help anything. They continue to hurt me.
How could that possibly help anything? The thing that I want to know is, why is it that you need to be hurt?
The Red Cliff counselors say Nick misunderstood what happened.
He might have felt he was being punished and having to be dragged down as far as to get with the rest of the group and everything. But as his staff, we're looking at it as, well, we're trying to get him his food for the week, and we're trying to make sure that he's safe, even though he sees it differently.
Red Cliff says that restraint is rarely used. He says it only uses physical force when a defiant teenager is putting himself or others at risk. But some of the kids at the camp say otherwise.
To make you hike, they grab your arm and twist it behind your back and, like, make it hurt really bad. Like, it feels like they're going to break your arm. Or they grab your wrist and push it down and back and all these funky words where you think they're going to break your wrist. And they get your pressure points and stuff to make you hike. And they grab you by your pressure points, like right here, and lift you up and stuff like that.
Back at the Red Cliff field office, Greg King is being prepared for his first night in the wilderness. Despite the cost of the program, $265 a day, there are no luxuries, something the unhappy teenager soon discovers.
Toilet paper. We got a roll of toilet paper? No. This is important. You only have one roll per 30 days, so use it wisely, okay?
Greg is photographed by the Red Cliff counselors so he can be identified if he tries to escape, and he will be blindfolded before being led into the wilderness.
One of the things that seems to bother students sometimes is later on when we go out to the field, you're going to be wearing a blindfold. Now, you're going to be way out in the wilderness.
You're going to put me in a blindfold?
Yes.
So I don't know where I'm going.
Exactly. So that you're less tempted to run away. Now, we're not worried about kids escaping because you're going to be way out in the wilderness, but we don't want you. It's nothing to do with you, but it's just policy.
To ensure Greg doesn't have any concealed drugs or weapons, there's one final ordeal.
You're going to be right about here, and there's going to be a strip search. You're going to take your clothes off. You're going to toss them to me. I'm going to look through them to make sure there's nothing in them, and we're going to put them in your stuff for when you leave here.
Greg gets off to a bad start by refusing to cooperate. He's immediately confronted by three Red Cliff counselors.
I know you're upset. Don't do it, man. That's what got you here. And it's a bad way to start. We don't want to get into any kind of wrestling match or any kind of assault or anything like that. So take a few deep breaths without the use of that and just relax. Just let it go.
Red Cliff is regularly inspected and approved by the Utah licensing authorities, and the state now has strict laws to protect children in wilderness camps. But that has not always been the case in Utah. Michelle Sutton was a happy 15-year-old and a straight-A student growing up in Colusa, California. But when the Sutton family moved to Pleasanton and Michelle started at a new high school, things began to go wrong.
Michelle is one of eight children. We noticed her starting to withdraw somewhat, and I could sense and see that her self-esteem wasn't what it was in prior years.
Michelle's grades began to fall. She was experimenting with drugs, and her mother feared she was mixing with the wrong crowd. The final blow came one night when Michelle was date raped.
She had experienced a traumatic experience, and she was looking forward to getting away from that.
Kathy and Michelle both felt she would benefit from the wilderness experience, where she could get away from her surroundings and regain her self-confidence.
Michelle herself was excited about the trip, so at the time, I am encouraging her and telling her, you know, that it's going to be great and how wonderful things will be, and excited for and with her. I think for me, it was, I felt like I had found something to give my daughter hope.
Hope came in the form of Summit Quest, a $14,000, 63-day program which was based here in St. George, Utah. But Michelle's excitement at the start of the program quickly turned to depression and fear. Her mother reads from Michelle's wilderness journal.
Today is May 6th. I have been hiking every day since I got here. I haven't eaten a single thing for 3 days straight. For the last 2 days, I have thrown up all the water that I drank. I have cried every night in my bed so far. I hate this place so much. I wish you guys would let me come home.
2 days after writing these desperate words, Michelle collapsed while hiking at high altitude in the desert heat, north of the Grand Canyon.
I was told that she had slipped and fallen several times, and all this time, they're still berating her and telling her, oh, Michelle, it's all in your head. You know, you're doing this to yourself.
But Michelle wasn't faking. After a week of hiking under the desert sun, the 15-year-old was so exhausted and dehydrated, she collapsed and died.
This was no accident. I don't see a child crying for help, writing in her journal, stating her sickness, and being told it's all in her head, and that she's a faker and a manipulator, and doing this to herself. I don't call that an accident. I call that a preventable death.
Although Kathy Sutton later won damages for Michelle's death, no one from Summit Quest faced any criminal charges. Kathy and other concerned parents have created a foundation in Michelle's memory to campaign for better standards in the industry.
Some of these programs are calling themselves Tough Love. Tough Love without the love is just plain tough, and tough kills. And that's what they did. They killed my daughter with their tough love.
Following Michelle's death, the wilderness industry came under increased scrutiny, and other stories of abuse were soon uncovered. In King County, Utah, former Sheriff Maxwell Jackson had to remove a child from one wilderness camp for his own protection.
He had over 80 scars, marks, and contusions on his body and torso.
Some of them were inflicted by staff when he became obstinate, belligerent. He was dragged, he was beaten, he was put through all kinds of what I believe was torture. He was physically emaciated, looked like something out of Auschwitz or Dachau.
The man who ran the camp where the boy was beaten is Steve Cartizano, seen here in his shirt sleeves. When 15-year-old Kristen Chase from Pontevedra Beach, Florida, died at one of his camps, Cartizano was charged with negligent homicide and 9 counts of child abuse. During his trial, Sheriff Jackson heard what Cartizano had said about the death of children in his care.
They would probably lose a youth or two in the program, but it was all for the greater good. And of course, in my mind and Mr. Cartizano's greater good was making a lot of money.
Although Steve Cartizano was eventually acquitted, he was banned from ever working with children in Utah again. But it hasn't prevented him from setting up wilderness camps elsewhere. Wilderness programs in Utah are now licensed and inspected regularly, but other states lag far behind. When we come back, how wilderness therapy claimed another young life.
Any parent out there that chooses a wilderness program is playing Russian roulette with their child's life.